Well, my wife's looking for a coconut donut. I've been to 22 different Dunkin' Donuts. They don't make coconut donuts. I don't have any problem with that. They haven't laid too many eggs this year.
Buccaneers fans, here he is, the sage of Tampa Bay sports, Ira Kaufman, Mr. Newport Richie, Mr. Bill Curry Ford, the king of Tampa Bay. I got new names for you, Ira. I'm trying them out. I don't know what to say. But Lee D. Kemper is here from JoeBucksFan.com. I'm Steve Hisbitz of JoeBucksFan.com. And it's all presented by Bill Curry Ford, Ira Wildcard Weekend. And that includes Bill Curry Ford starting at $265 a month for his 36 months. You can be like Ira.
Another initiative from Bill Curry Ford?
More. You could be like Ira and drive a new Ford Escape model for $265 a
month.
Cherry red? I don't know if it got red, but I think so, Ira.
All right.
36 months. You can go to the website and see all the little details with that. New 2024 Ford Bronco models, lease for $365 for 36 months.
Where the hell
months.
Are you going to get prices like that, Steve? Or, come on, that's crazy.
Or get up to $15,000 off MSRP. Sean Sullivan, the GM of Bill Curry Ford. He is the face of the franchise, if you will. They're family-owned since 1960. He's the franchise quarterback, and he will help you in any possible way. That includes giving you the Ira Kaufman discount at Bill Curry Ford. You can find him at BillCurryFord.com. That's how you shop for a car, Ira. You go online. Even you shop for cars online.
In a couple of weeks, he's going to come out with his mock draft for the 2025 selection process. You know that's going to happen.
Oh, what? Sean's all fired up. He's the host of our Best in Class podcast at JoeBucksFan.com. He's our JoeBucksFan.com draft guru. But get to BillCurryFord.com. You'll be very impressed. There's other offers there, Ira. I'm even peeking here. Another big $500 off coupon, BillCurryFord.com. Now, Sage, we got a Bucks game on Sunday. This is very exciting. We're going to be making picks. We're going to be talking about some of the things going on with the Bucks. And you've been out at $1.
Steve, first, we should congratulate Tristan Wirfs, because we just found out today that, again, he made the All-Pro squad. He
left
made my ballot.
This time. Yep.
Left tackle. I also voted for Levante David on the second team as an inside linebacker, but I think he came up a little short, Levante David.
Yeah.
But he's had a solid season, so I'm glad to see the Bucks represented.
So Wirfs going to left tackle, first team All-Pro, does this immediately enhance his Hall of Fame stock as one of the three or four guys that has played both positions and been an All-Pro?
How much pressure are you trying to put on me over here?
I mean, I don't know.
Buck fans are screaming about Mike Evans. That's an easy one. They're screaming about Levante David. Not an easy one, but it could happen. And Tristan Wirfs is just starting out. He's just a little puppy dog. Just a little puppy dog. What it does is, Lee, it establishes him at left tackle going forward. And that's always a leg up on everybody else, like Trent Williams used to have that leg up. And if Wirfs stays healthy, he's going to be tough to dislodge at left tackle going forward. Good for him. And I think he's played better than he did last year. That makes sense. Is he better at left tackle than he was playing at right tackle? I can't say that. But he's one heck of a football player.
When Wirfs was right tackle, he was absolutely dominant. I mean, he just toyed with people.
Yeah.
It's impressive, Ira, just because there aren't many guys who've been all pro at both sides. That's why I asked you that. I'll ask you this, because a lot of fans moan and cry and whine about, oh, the Bucks aren't high profile enough. That's why they don't get these Pro Bowls and all pros. Is Tristan Wirfs an all pro left tackle? If he hadn't been on the public stage as a rookie in the Super Bowl and four straight years in the playoffs, now a fifth year, is the flip side true where he's had all this exposure and it's helping him?
Well, it all helps, Lee. Now, he's not with the Chiefs, you know, getting six primetime games a year and, you know, three postseason games a year. What really helps is word of mouth. When the national guys start talking about you and then this guy picks up from that, that gets it going. Wirfs' play is on tape, Lee. Anybody who watches Buck games know this guy's a fortress. Nobody
like
gets
that.
Around him.
Fortress.
Nobody. And I like focusing on him, Lee, because he just rides you out of the play. Just rides you out of the play.
Yeah.
Now, Steve said he missed a big block last week.
He's human.
Oh, yeah, when Mayfield was scrambling to his left. Not scrambling. It was a design play to his left. So he's human, Steve, but he's awfully good.
All right, Sage, look, let's talk about Liam Cohen before we get going here. So far, and the teams with vacancies, a lot of them have already released who they're planning to interview. So far, Liam Cohen, who confirmed this Thursday, he's only got one interview, and that's with the Jaguars. He can do it next week under NFL rules. It's got to be online streaming conference call, not any kind of in-person
Even
stuff.
Even if the Bucs have been eliminated next week?
It's my understanding. Okay. I don't know. Right. But I believe that's the rule right now.
And I believe Cone even said it was by Zoom.
So regardless, one opportunity, does that surprise you? Are you excited by this? Is this good news? Or if the Bucks go out and put 35 on Washington, could this all change for Cohen in a hurry? How do you think this goes?
My answers are yes and yes. I'm a little surprised, Lee, that his name hasn't been leaked as the six openings. You know, you can't argue with what he did with the Buck offense. Now, you want Ben Johnson ahead of him? Okay. I don't have any problem with that. Lions' offense has been fantastic. Who's got more to work with? Well, certainly last year Ben Johnson did because Bucky Irving wasn't a Buccaneer and the ground game sucked. So I'm a little surprised, but I think things can change. Sometimes these teams aren't in that much of a hurry to hire their head coach. And if the Bucks come up big against Washington and score a lot of points in the process, to me, I don't think Liam Cohen's got a lot to prove in that regard. He's got a body of work. 17 games. Very rarely has the Buck offense been shut down. It's a very diverse, varied offense with balance. So for people that I saw an article yesterday, Lee, you probably saw the same thing, about the openings and why Liam Cohen shouldn't take it. Mm-hmm. And then this is a problem here and there's a problem here. That's wishful thinking, I think. You don't want to work with Caleb Williams. You don't want to work with Drake May. Ownership is this. Ownership is that. You get a head coaching job, generally speaking, it's tough to turn down. It is very tough to turn. Ben Johnson turned it down last year. You won't see that very often. You won't see it very often when a guy says, I want to stay and finish the job. That doesn't happen very often.
I was listening to Pat Kerwin on NFL radio yesterday. He was talking about this very subject. Not necessarily about Liam Cohen specifically, but about this general subject. And he says when he talks to like coordinators, he tells them, don't just take a job to take a job. Because you know what? You'll be sitting with me in 3 years if you do. He goes, wait, be patient. And Kerwin was saying, sometimes they tell him, well, if I don't do it now, I never do it. And he's like, well, if you're with a good team, you'll be there for a decade. You'll be making really good money. It's not the end of the world. And he said, you'll be lucky if you ever get a second chance. You'll probably never get a third chance. So just be choosy. That's what now, it's easy for a radio guy to say that. I see what you're saying.
I think the guy under center is a huge factor for Cohn and
absolutely.
Anybody else in his
situation. Absolutely.
You know, there's some teams out there with openings that have very dynamic young quarterbacks that you might be able to work with. But, Steve, the maxim is true. Generally speaking, you're walking into a bad situation when you're replacing a fired coach.
Good point.
Yeah, so that's why I think Kerwin and those guys, I think it's kind of nuts because they're maybe, once every 10 years there's an opening because some guy dies or retires
like
unexpectedly.
The Packers, not that.
Yeah, so I mean, how is that going to happen? Were you going to walk into a perfect situation? Obviously, some ownership groups are better than others, but all these guys have big egos, and I think everybody would say you can still do a good coaching job with a roster that isn't so great. Like you can walk away saying, hey, this guy's a good coach. He just didn't get much.
Look what Sean Payton did this year with Denver. They're not loaded with stars, Lee. They got some players. Mm. But, you know, he did wonders with that young quarterback.
Yes, he did.
And I've never heard of a guy who became a head coach and then all of a sudden he couldn't get a coordinator gig ever again unless he was a lunatic. And if you're a lunatic, you know, then that's another thing.
You know,
that's
Steve, you know the guy, who has trouble getting a second time around? General managers.
Yeah.
If you screw up, you're in trouble.
Yeah.
Head coaches, you're right, Steve. Generally speaking, sooner or later, you get a second shot.
So we'll see. I'm a little scared. Jacksonville is actually a good job, in my opinion. The owner's given a lot of rope to coaches.
Low expectations in Jacksonville.
True.
Yeah, you always want that. Not a great division, but he gave Gus Bradley 4 years. The guy was one of the worst coaches in the history of the NFL.
Media won't kill you.
He gave your pal Doug Marrone 4 years. Even after the third year, they completely imploded. He gave him a fourth year. That guy gives a lot of rope, and from what I've heard, he believes the head coach is the boss over the GM as far as the whole structure of everything. So, I don't know. They got a quarterback. They got money.
There are questions about Trevor Lawrence,
yeah,
Steve.
Sure.
There are.
Sure.
There
At least they got somebody. They're not the Giants or something like that.
Yeah. So. I got one
for you. This draft's not overflowing with quarterbacks.
No, it's not. When there are actually sober people talking about this Penn State quarterback being a first-round pick,
you know
it's a low draft.
I heard somebody say if he comes back next year, he might be the first pick in the draft. Is he that good?
Penn State quarterback?
Yeah.
You obviously didn't watch that game last night.
I know he didn't have a good game.
Oh, he stunk. I mean, he looks the part. He looks just like Christian Hackenberg. Physically, he looks just like
him. I hear you.
Steve didn't scream. I'm surprised. You know, we read comments on Joe Bucks Fan, and we appreciate the comments. Well, at least some of them. One gentleman this week in relation to Cohen had a really interesting comment. Not sure I fully agree, but I see where this guy's going, and I'm like, okay, I don't know if I agree with it, but I could see it. Spytek has been, his name's been floated with the Raiders. And this commenter said, if Spytek gets to be the GM of the Raiders, Cone's gone. He's going to pick Cone.
Now, they don't have a quarterback. Like, they don't
I
have a
totally
quarterback.
Understand that. But nobody knows, you know, of all these general managers, and let's say Spytek takes the job, no one knows him as good as Spytek.
Yeah. And Brady's flexing his muscles, Steve. Brady's out there in the desert, and he's flexing his muscles, and you can forget about him on Fox next year. That ain't happening.
You don't think so?
No, absolutely.
He's
going to
turn down 300 and some million?
No, they won't let him do it. They won't let him do it.
Who's they?
The network and the NFL, I think, is going to frown upon Brady doing both jobs because he's rising in power in Vegas.
You don't
rising.
Think that's a good look for the NFL to have Brady on the broadcast?
It's too much of a conflict of interest. I think it's a problem.
You got to remember, he's not a journalist.
I hate you.
Well, they fired their GM.
He could be the de facto GM, Lee.
Oh, I think he already is.
I think he already is. Pat Kerwin fired Tom Telesco, who was only there 1 year, not even. And he had a good reputation going there.
As was the coach.
Telesco had some goof-ups, though.
It's Looneyville over there. It really is in a lot of ways, with you thinking that Brady's going to be able to take over. I hope they just name Brady GM. But I don't think he wants to do the grunt work like a John Lynch and all that.
Yes.
And live out in Vegas and deal with that. So if he wants a face, I think Spytek's probably a really good face. Our photographer, the picture wasn't that good, but I could tell.
Before
the game, we've got photos of Brady talking to Spytek. I know it's Spytek, but the readers wouldn't, so I didn't throw it up there. But bottom line, I don't know if they come after Cone. I don't know if Brady wants that guy who... Like, because I can't see Brady being so hands-off. And Cohen's got to think that's a crazy, volatile situation in Las Vegas. Tom Brady changes his mind every year on what he wants to do. Mark Davis is nuts, and they don't have a quarterback. That seems messy as hell.
It does seem messy. Now, real quick, Ira, Pat Kerwin said 5 years. In 5 years, maybe sooner, Tom Brady is president of football operations with the Raiders.
I don't think there's any question about it. He's not going there to take a subservient role. He's a climber.
He's not going there to
and
roll.
And by the way, I'm still pissed at him for blowing me off in the press box last Sunday.
You got Russo going on that.
He said, I'll catch you on the way back up. I'm standing there. He saw me. And him and Burkhart, they must have had the spread out. They must have had sandwiches out or something. Brady couldn't wait to get back to the press box.
Come on, Brady doesn't eat bread, Ira. All right, look. We got a playoff game on Sunday night. And this is a hell of a game, Ira. You know, we're going to talk about it, obviously, but look, both teams are super hot. Washington's won 5 in a row.
Both teams offensive-oriented. No
and you've
about
talked
it.
About the Bucks' resiliency, how hard it is to not pack it in and to have the buy-in to come back from 4-6 and all that.
2 years in a row.
Now look at Washington. New head coach, rookie quarterback. They lost 3 in a row, and here they are closing out with 5 in a row. I watched that game, Ira, on the replay last week when they sat Daniels and sat some other key starters, not all of them, and the fire that team was playing with to beat Dallas on the road, and watching you put that up against the Bucks coming out with all their guns and they're losing by 10 to the Saints, it was a bad look.
I don't want to underestimate the Commanders, Lee. They are coming in hot, 5 in a row. Of course, the Bucks have won 6 of 7, Lee, not too shabby. I think in the end, Lee, I think I trust the Buck offense versus Washington's, to me, mediocre defense.
Mm-hmm.
To me, these are very similar teams in terms of, you know, what their strengths and weaknesses are. The Buck defense is very up and down, Lee. Second half, good. First half, really bad.
That's so weird. Just FYI, Ira, just came out as we're recording this podcast. Todd Bowles said cornerback Jamel Dean and Antoine Winfield Jr. are fine for Sunday night's game.
It's got to help. Maybe... Steve, maybe that will convince Bowles not to play soft coverage against Jaden Daniels. Now, I think his main focal point is Daniels' legs and what to do about it, Steve. But if they come out and they're basically giving them 8-yard passes, Buck fans are going to go crazy, Lee. They're going to go crazy. I don't think they have to do that. Play a little bit more aggressive. Show a little confidence. Winfield's back. You can do some things with Winfield. Don't play soft coverage. Steve, it just drives everybody crazy.
Yeah, both guys are coming off significant knee injuries. Winfield out 4 games. Dean missed 2, the last 2, I think.
Mm-hmm.
So who knows what they're going to be. Bowles has said that he said it again this week, they don't come out aggressive on defense. They're supposed to, but the guys have a tendency of wanting to look around, feel out the other team.
Feel out the other team.
And then they get aggressive later, and he hasn't figured out how to stop that.
Who's the national guy that's killing the Bucks with the soft defense? Is it Sims?
Chris Sims.
I think Sims is killing him.
Well, Orlovsky went off, I heard.
They don't understand why Bowles is playing it that way.
Well, I heard Orlovsky on Pardon My Take, and by the way, I got a great PFT commenter line for you. But Orlovsky's saying what Bowles is going to do, he's going to play soft coverage. Daniels is going to slice him and dice him. And Bowles is going to hope to get in the red zone defense, and that way he'll stop him.
All right. That might be a strategy. That might be a strategy.
What kind of strategy is that? To get sliced and diced? Yeah. That's a strategy?
Yeah, here, get to the 20-yard line, please.
I want him to show more confidence in his own players, Steve. Show confidence in Dean and McCullough.
I get what Bowles is saying, that they got to play confidently, too. Bowles can't go out there and play for him. But damn, they do it over and over and over again.
And over again.
And two guys coming off a knee injury, that speaks to, hey, I might need a quarter to get aggressive and get my feet
up
under me.
Yeah.
And so we were talking about national analyst A.Q. Shipley, who played for the Bucks 2020, was a coach 2021, and is out there with Pat McAfee, and he does a podcast with Jay Gruden, who's hilarious. Shipley, a pro Buccaneers guy, he flat out said in breaking down this game, the secondary stinks. That's what he said, quote. That's the quote. And Jay Gruden piled on.
Winfield's a bump all of a sudden?
Just the way they're playing. The secondary stinks. And Jay Gruden piled on, even more extreme. That just, you know, they don't play defense. They don't play pass defense.
Brother
and
Chucky.
I get it. In Jay Gruden's mind, Commanders have to go all out to get out of third and long because Daniels is still a rookie. Those wacky blitzes that Bowles throws is still going to be an issue.
Disrupt them, yeah.
So he thinks Daniels is going to run a lot. They're going to throw a lot on first down and slice and dice, like you said.
Lee, I want to see some aggression out there. I want to see some aggression out there. I'm not worried about the Buck offense, Lee. They haven't laid too many eggs this year. Maybe the Dallas game, they weren't great. They weren't.
They still had a chance to win at the end.
They still had a chance to win. Washington's defense, to me, is about the same as Tampa Bay's. You know, not much better. If they're better, not much better. Lattimore could help, Lee, and we'll get into that a little bit, too. But, boy, the Buck defense got to show up. Lee, if they lose this game because of the defense, boy, all the old questions are going to come back on Bowles.
Zion McCollum, and this surprised me, Zion McCollum is tied for third in most pass defenses.
In the league?
Yes. Now, Orlovsky was saying on Pardon My Take, he was like, oh, the Bucks corners, they can't hang with this McLaren. They can't hang with him. Well, wait a minute. One guy has 17 passes defense. You don't do that by playing crappy defense.
I got no problem with McCollum.
Yeah,
please.
So I think is Orlovsky overlooking McCollum?
I think McCollum's been very solid, and he's still a young player. Steve, I think in about 2 years, he'll be considered one of the best corners in football.
Wow.
I do. He maybe relied on his athleticism in the beginning.
Too much, yeah.
And now his technique is much better. McCollum is like the only guy I ever see that's around the football. He's around
always,
the football.
Yeah.
And I want to see more of that on Sunday night.
Say, do you want to talk around the football? You talk about Florida's Elite Restoration. When you have mold, fire, a leak, water damage, storm damage, whatever it is, they're there for you 24/7. They're going to come out to your property sometimes within a couple of hours, responding free to determine what your situation is and what the best way is to move forward. They are your offensive coordinator, your defensive coordinator when you have a disaster. Florida's Elite Restoration. When you call them, mention Ira or JoeBucksFan.com, and you'll get $500 back if you need their services after your free evaluation at your property, your home, your business. That's your most valuable asset. You can't mess around and get ripped off by insurance companies. Florida's Elite Restoration owner Josh Martin and his team, they've got more than 25 years working in the insurance industry with insurance, knowing exactly what to do to protect you. They can help you navigate through the whole process beginning to end. That includes repairs, a restoration, everything you might need. Florida's Elite Restoration. Check out their Google reviews. They are 5-star all the way. They are our friends, great Bucks fans. Florida's Elite Restoration.com. Get there now so you know what to do and who to call and how to feel great when you do have that disaster. Sage, a fun one. And you talked about the Bucks offense, and we all appreciate it. We mentioned it before, but now it's official. They did end up with the best running attack in team history, yards per carry, total yards, even going back to the days when they ran 600 times a year.
Ricky Bell days?
Unbelievable.
Now, less games, Steve.
Less games. But it was still a 16-game season, their previous highs. So.
And less games doesn't affect your yards per carry. It does not.
Correct.
Yeah.
So, anyway, bottom line is a lot of fun. You had Cameron Brate and Bo Allen on a podcast together, not a Buccaneers official thing that Brate's doing, and they were talking about the Bucs running game, glowing about it. Cameron Brate said, quote, he couldn't believe that Cohen has had the balls to call some of the plays that he's called with, basically, he said, having the guys pulling left and running to where they were pulling from, not the other way around, in hopes that you'd have the defensive tackles follow them.
Yeah.
And just ballsy calls and creativity. And they both went out of their way to say Bruce Arians didn't know what he was doing with scheming a run game.
Ooh.
Now, they mentioned Arians. We know Leftwich was the guy calling the plays, but they mentioned Arians, not us. And when Allen went on that rant about Bruce Arians and the lack of creativity, Brate said, quote, it was horrible on the run game called by that regime. So what are your overall thought about that?
Lee, I have a very simple response. That's way too simplistic for Brate to say it, and I'll tell you why. And I'm not defending Byron Leftwich.
Keep in mind, Brate's a Harvard man, a friend of yours.
I'm going right after a Harvard man, Lee. Even though we had breakfast once up here in beautiful Pasco County one day, when he walked into a restaurant while I was sitting there with my wife. I go, is that Cameron Brate? Yeah. I paid for the breakfast. I paid. Lee?
Even though he's a finance major at Harvard.
Brate left one thing out when he's talking about the astonishing improvement in the Bucs running game. Number seven, there's no Bucky Irving in 2022. There's no Bucky Irving in 2023. He's made all the difference, Lee.
Yeah.
Say what you want. Rashad White, he's run a little better.
Sure,
he's
better.
Run a little better.
Not great, but better, yeah. He's had some good runs.
Bucky Irving's, and he's breaking off these 30-yard runs. Those add up, Lee, in your yards per carry. It really is a big effect. And Mayfield's chipping in 40 yards a game. That's not bad.
That's unusual,
68
yeah.
last week. So, look, I'm not knocking Cohn's schematics because he's creative. There's no question about it. But Bucky Irving is the guy that makes this whole thing go. I think we're having a whole different conversation if he's not a Buccaneer.
I agree.
All right, Sage, look, it was a fun comment. You don't hear that kind of stuff, and good or bad. You want to hear more of this candid stuff.
By the way, Stephen, I'll put you on the spot right now. You know how I like to lay nuggets on you, Steve, and you're good in your own right.
Drop a nugget, Aaron.
And I popped one into that column the other day, and you must have done a double take, and you went right on Google, and you checked it out, because I said, Lee, and Lee, don't fall off your chair, because I'm going to mention turnover ratio.
Yeah.
But, Lee, of the bottom 17 teams.
Yeah, I saw this.
That have a dash next to them, -2, -4, Bucks are -5, some teams are -11. There's only one team still standing, Lee.
Yeah, the Bucs.
That's got to mean something. To me.
What does it mean?
I think it's another example of mental toughness, overcoming adversity. That's adversity. You're losing possessions, but you can overcome it and win 10 games. And by the way, I'm so glad we're not having this fire bowls conversation and bump up Liam Cohn. Let's put that to bed, Steve.
Well, here's one for you, Ira. And I'm not saying I'm, fire bowls, hire Cohn. I think after winning three divisions in a row, and his record improved every year, Bowles should start getting some slack.
No matter how bad the divisions are, Lee? No matter how bad?
No, you still got to win the division.
Okay.
I mean, there's some hardcores out there. On Joe Bucs Fan, I read comments every day. One guy wrote, well, maybe if Washington kills the Bucs, the Glazers will wake up and get rid of Bowles.
I saw that.
Here's one for about Bowles, though. I just started to do a little bit of research. I found out that winning three division titles in a row, not very common. Forget your first 3 years as a head coach. I get it. He inherited a talented roster. I get it. But still, I just started researching his contemporaries. Now, Sean Payton had four division titles. Sean Payton had four division titles. And that surprised me in a sense. I thought it was more. Riverboat Ron, I think he won four division titles in a row. That's it. Mike Smith never did with Atlanta. Dan Quinn never did with Atlanta. So three in a row, especially your first three, that's rare. Mike McCarthy did it once. Matt LaFleur did it once. Both guys had Aaron Rodgers. I don't think Aaron Rodgers was ever on the Bucs roster. Sean Payton had Drew Brees. Cam Newton, I don't know if he's a Hall of Famer, but he was MVP. He was a good quarterback. I don't know if Mayfield's on any of those guys' levels. Although Mayfield is having a really good year. And the more I started researching this, I'm like, Bowles needs to get some credit here.
Show him some love, Steve.
Yeah, Rivera, I just looked it up. He had three in a row, but one of them was that wacky year, if you remember 2014, when the Bucs were like 2-11. Everybody's like, they're still in it. They're still in it. Panthers had a losing record that year and won the division. And
As did Bowles. Didn't they lose the record first?
Yeah. Well, the Bucks ended up 2-14. How are they still in it?
Well, at the time, they were still in
mathematically,
it. Mathematically, they were still in it, which was wacky. And I it was almost like Lovie Smith was like, could you stop talking playoffs? We got two wins.
Steve, this conversation could have been entirely different had Bowles lost to the Saints.
Well,
then,
sure.
Then it's irrelevant.
Sure. Hey, it's not even my conversation. He'll be back. He's the coach. He's better than most. Certainly not. I wouldn't put him in any elite coaching category. One big question I want to know after this season, in all seriousness, how is Todd Bowles, is he going to look in the mirror and say, you know what, I'm not the best manager of time at the end of games?
I think that's a great point, Steve.
He's got to look in the mirror and say, I'm just not the best at it. It doesn't mean I suck, but I'm not the best
at it. And it's costing us.
I going to fix it? Am I going to get the Glazers to pay for me to sit down for a week with Bill Parcells or this guy or that guy?
Or hire somebody.
Yeah. How am I going to fix it?
I think you guys are
overlooking one major thing.
Ego.
No, isn't Jackie Davidson in his ear about
that? Who knows?
I don't know. I don't know.
Well, I've been told that, but you're making my point, Ira. She's yet to be made available by the Bucks for questioning. She's on the headset for a reason.
But Steve's talking about somebody who's on the spot as the game's unfolding.
I'm talking about taking a month to sit with Todd Bowles and coach him up. And let the Glazers invest $1 million in.
You mean like a Belichick sit down with Belichick?
Simulated game situations, all kinds of stuff with an advisor and going through it and drilling it and drilling it and drilling it. Is Todd Bowles going to take 40 hours in June to just drill himself on improving clock management? He should.
You don't like the idea of another voice in his head?
I don't mind a voice, but it's got to be the right voice. Here's the thing. Jackie Davidson came public with that, but we really don't know
what she's saying. Yeah.
What she's saying,
exactly.
How often she's saying it.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So we just don't know. Plus, she's never coached.
Never coached a game.
I know. I bring this up all the time, and Steve thinks I'm out of my mind. Other people think you might be onto something. 10 years ago, if you would have said that about baseball, they'd try to commit you for being out of your mind. Well, that's the fact. That's what they do. The managers are just in there making press appearances to take bullets. No baseball team ever puts the stat geeks out for questioning. None of them. And we know the Glazers like analytics, and more analytics are getting big in the NFL. I don't know this, but I would not be surprised if she's telling Bowles a lot more than we think.
Well, baseball is much more slow and deliberate than the NFL, where things are happening on the spot,
totally agree.
The fly.
Well, there's much more data-driven in baseball because
it's a data-driven league.
Your manager is not necessarily going to know, hey, this guy is hitting 138 against this pitcher. He can't have that all memorized.
The first step, Steve, is Bowles acknowledging that this is not a strong point for me. He has to acknowledge that.
Exactly.
Yeah. Well, my only issue is...
Or get a nudge from the Glazers.
I guess...
Yeah.
I guess my issue is... It's open debate because I don't know if Bowles is following orders. I don't know any of this. That's why I always bring up her name. I have nothing against her, but put her out there for us to ask questions. What are your responsibilities? What are you telling Bowles? Are you in charge of the timeouts?
Bowles certainly has the authority to overrule Jackie Davis.
I would hope so.
In the heat of the moment.
Once again, I hope so, but in baseball, it's all from upstairs, that crap.
Some teams.
Most teams.
Depends on how entrenched the manager is.
Well, that's it. They hire the young guys that don't cost anything. Again, I think this is all plausible. That's why I'm not killing Bowles for it, because I don't know if he's taking orders or not.
My contention is if he is taking orders, then he needed to decide a while ago to stop. That's on him to stop. They weren't going to fire him in week 10. Well, Todd Bowles is fired. He didn't listen to Jackie Davidson.
Well, FYI, since he's got 3 division titles under his belt, if that is the case that he's following orders, I think he's got the street cred right now. Like, hey, I'm going to do this on the sidelines. I'll take care
of it. We'll get to the bottom of this thing, Stevie. Are you worried about Marshawn Lattimore Sunday evening, Steve?
Coming off a hamstring injury, from a football standpoint, I'm actually glad he's playing because he's probably not going to be as good as anybody thinks. And hopefully that includes the Washington defensive play caller. But Cameron Brait said it on this podcast, and we've seen it. He's in Mike Evans' head. He just is. And maybe sometimes that's good because Evans has won a couple of those matchups, but I don't like it. I don't think Evans needs another distraction.
Should Evans be over it at this point in his career, Lee?
Well, you and I have talked about this before. There are always, I don't care what sport it is, there's always some guy out there that owns another player. Always. I mean, baseball is rich with history of somebody owning the pitcher or a pitcher owning the batter, no matter how good they are.
Sometimes it's a scrubby hitter that just has a lot of success against an elite pitcher.
Yeah, and vice versa. Some scrub pitcher
who
couldn't break a window pane, he owns some 300 hitter. Yeah.
So that brings me to, we won't spend too much time on it because it's not on our team, but this guy who plays alongside Bobby Wagner is Frankie Luvu on the Commanders.
I think he's a big hitter.
One of my favorite players, just because the guy is just crazy.
What are you doing liking a player on another team?
Well, he plays crazy. If you watch him play for Carolina the last few years, this guy's all over the place.
Does he go over the line, this guy?
He's just a good ball player everywhere, tackle machine. He stripped Trey Pronger in that game last year, which almost cost the Bucs at the end of the season. The previous year, the Bucs had to beat Carolina, and they needed like 20 points in the fourth quarter from Brady to do it. Luvu had sacked him in that game, had like 13 solo tackles. You know, I watched the games multiple times. You see who stands out. The guy's just all over the place. He's got 8 sacks for Washington. But the crazy thing is, Ira, they play him all over the place because they got Bobby Wagner there, who kind of holds down the more traditional inside linebacker role. And
you never really know where this guy's going to line up.
And the crazy thing is that he was Bowles' darling with the Jets as a 230-pound outside linebacker in 2018. They came in, the new regime, when Bowles got fired. This guy Luvu said he almost quit. He was so sad that Bowles was gone and they didn't appreciate him. He lost his love for football.
Well, it's up to Cone to make this guy look like a clown.
So they got to scheme it up. You know, they got to scheme it up and get away from this guy. But, man, the Bucs...
Overall, Washington's defense...
Not that good.
Mediocre.
No, not that good. There's so many openings on both sides for both teams. I don't see any way this isn't a shootout. I just don't. What do you think?
Maybe the weather, but it's not supposed to rain. I thought it was going to rain. Light rain. Now they're saying it's going to be clear in the 50s. Seems to me it's beautiful football weather. No factor there. I'm with you, Steve. This isn't going to be 16-13. You wouldn't think so. First of all, who holds the Bucs to 13 or 16 points, Lee? And Washington's offense is moving very effectively. Daniels is a problem, Steve. He's a problem. When I asked Bowles this week, what do you tell your guys up front in terms of the pass rush and staying in your lanes and this and that? He goes, well, if you dwell on that too much, then they're worried about his running so much that they don't give him any pressure. You don't get any pressure on the guy when he's throwing the ball. So it's a fine balance here, but I think overall, Lee, in the history for Bowles, I think he's got a decent record against running quarterbacks. Although Bo Nix hurt him, Lee. Bo Nix hurt him early in the season.
How much
with some big runs.
How much of that was Bo Nix? How much of that was Sean Payton? Sean Payton runs up and down the field on Bowles' defense.
He schemes you up.
I'm worried that they're going to let Daniels loose. Just tell him. I mean, he runs a lot anyway. He set the rookie record for a rush.
In the middle of the year, he wasn't running a lot.
No.
Because Quinn kept saying, you know, you got to be disciplined or whatever. Then I think they turned him loose in the last month.
He set the rookie record for rushing yards by a quarterback. He's phenomenal. It makes it look easy. And I'm afraid they're just going to turn him loose. And who's going to chase him on the edge? I understand the Bucs have some athletes on the edge, but they want to play Shaq Barrett more in passing situations, who I think is ripe for getting – he's not going to catch anybody anymore. And, you know, Nelson's better than Tryon, but Nelson's not going to chase down this guy. You know, they don't have a lot of speed.
Levante's not 26.
There's
anymore.
No Devin White out there hunting on the edges. I don't know. That scares me.
Well, Steve, you're missing the big picture. That's why we drop edge rushers in the pass coverage, so they'll be in position to get a running quarterback.
Lee, well, once a podcast you mentioned that, and it's beautiful.
Yeah, they'll get him 6 yards down the field.
What's Logan Hall doing 7 yards down the field over there? Oh, man.
Scary, Iris. Scary. Does it matter to you that a no-rookie quarterback has won a road playoff game in 12 years?
Yes. Yes.
It's due, huh?
That's a long period of time, Lee, so it's not a flash in the pan stat. As talented as Daniels is and as great a career as he's going to have, which he will, in the next 10, 15 years if he stays healthy. He's still inexperienced. Mayfield is not in the postseason. Mayfield plays very well in the postseason.
Yeah.
Mayfield went into Pittsburgh when he was just a young quarterback and put 40-something points up at Heinz Field. Nobody does that against the Steelers in the playoffs.
And he had the Chiefs on the ropes, right?
And he
Arrowhead?
Did. He did have the Chiefs on the ropes. I think a guy on the Browns fumbled at the 1 yard line, it was a huge play. Otherwise, they might have won that game.
Yeah, that turned, and that was the year the Bucs beat the Chiefs in the Super Bowl. Real quick trivia about Mayfield and the postseason. All these people, especially on the four letter, on these hollering shows, squeal about Lamar Jackson. No! Oh,
We've never seen the likes of him before.
Oh my gosh! Oh my! The mold has been broken, and you know they're pitching a tent, Ira. And I'll just add to this: the great Lamar Jackson, the God himself, the two-time
MVP Lamar Jackson,
has just as many playoff wins as Baker Mayfield.
Nice nugget, Lee.
Sage. I'll skip what I was going to say.
I made him speechless.
Lamar Jackson. All right, so Ira, look, after the season, which hopefully isn't for another month, after the season we'll have an I Told You So episode. I think it'll be fun. I've got all of our picks from when we made them on the season.
I don't know if I like this, Steve.
It'll be a fun one because this was a real good year for that. But I'll put an I Told You So out there. I Told You So
I
out there.
I have for 9 wins, though, right? So I'm not far off.
No. The I Told You So is going to be Lee's I Told You So. He sat there and told us that Yaya Diaby doesn't see why he would be the player he was last year. He doesn't like that the league kind of caught up to him, et cetera, et cetera. You and I picked him to have a big, big year. Well, Yaya had 4.5 sacks, not a big year. He closed strong, and he actually won NFC Defensive Player of the Week last week, which surprised me.
Mm-hmm.
But bottom line, Sage, he's got that NFC Player of the Week. He's got to be steaming with confidence. He obviously did play well last week, 4.5 sacks. Where do you stand on Yaya, and what do you think he can do in this playoffs?
I think going forward, he's going to be a very good player for the Buck organization.
I agree.
I think he was a good draft pick by Jason Light. However, in this particular game, Lee, I think he might get a little carried away with his aggressiveness, and that could end up hurting the Bucks with Daniel scrambling. I don't want to take away, you know, his approach to the game, but you're not playing Jared Goff this week.
Yeah.
A guy where you know where he's going to be.
Kirk Cousins.
When he launches. Kirk Cousins. That's exactly right. So I'm a little worried about Diaby securing the edges and not going hell-bent. I'm going to bring Daniels down on a sack. The more important thing is keeping Daniels where you want him, where he's less effective. But Diaby's going to be a really good player.
You brought up something very interesting, Ira. Diaby talked specifically about that. It was in the locker room the other day. And, you know, he basically asked, like, why all of a sudden are you getting sacks? You didn't get sacks for the first 15 games. All of a sudden, boom, what's going on? He said, I quit worrying about sacks. And I thought that comment, I likened that comment to a baseball hitter. If he's trying to hit a home run, swinging for the fence all the time, he's probably going to strike out a lot. If he's just looking for contact, he's probably going to put more over the fence.
That's like me with this podcast, Steve. I can't be overwhelmed and obsessed with this podcast. When I let it flow naturally, Steve, it's a better podcast.
I heard Yaya say that, and it made me think, gosh, there's a lot of great sack guys out there who will tell you, man, I'm just dialed in on that quarterback. I want sacks on every play, and it works for them to get to their 10-11.
Yeah,
so
works,
I don't know,
man.
Whatever works, but hopefully.
You gotta make an adjustment for a guy like Daniels, though, Steve. You do.
I got one more here for you because he's still the quarterback, and we can't underestimate this and the impact. You said it here. Mayfield's had good success early in the playoffs overall, especially first round games. I'm gonna
played well in Detroit last year. Second round. Played well.
It played extremely well.
Except for the last drive.
So Mayfield, few questions. You can take him however you want. Is he the better quarterback in this game? Number two, do you think Mayfield can help the Bucks overcome losing their last six games in regular season games in prime time? He seemed to do it last year against the Eagles, but do you think is that an issue even at all, the primetime stuff? And do you believe Mayfield's at a point in his career here right now with what he did this season, 71% passing and all the numbers, that he can put his team on the back and maybe take him to the Super Bowl?
I love the way he's playing, Lee. I just love the way he's playing. He sets the tone for this entire team with the way he plays, the fire that he plays. It's contagious.
Mm-hmm.
Brady, as great as Brady was, he was different. He was different in that respect. Brady would be on fire on the bench screaming at guys. But Mayfield's doing it on the field. The thing I am absolutely shocked about, I talk about it all the time, maybe it's not that big a factor. I just can't believe his mobility. He's not going to break off a 50-yard run like Josh Allen.
He almost did last week.
But, Steve, he never looks for the sidelines. He doesn't look to the sidelines.
No, that's not his mentality.
And I think that also rubs off. You should hear guys like Malcolm Wirfs talking about him, how he's the tone setter. I think right now I got more trust in Mayfield in this game with Daniels and experience than Daniels. Now, that doesn't mean in 3 years Daniels isn't going to be better and an all-pro. But right now, I trust Mayfield more. He does throw the pick once in a while, Lee, But as I pointed out, he doesn't throw them in the second half when the games are on the line. He's thrown 5 picks this year with the game in the final 2 quarters, over 17 games. That's impressive. I think he's going to do a lot of damage against Washington on Sunday night. I'd rather have Mayfield for this game.
You want to throw a pick out there, kick it off, or you want to wait?
I'll kick it off.
All right.
And every time we say, Lee, that it's going to be a shootout, it ends up being 17 to 14. Yeah, you know. But I don't see it, especially since the weather's going to be good. The whole nation's going to be watching.
Yep.
The whole nation. I don't think Washington's going to be able to stop the Buck offense, and very few teams have this season. I don't think they have enough Frankie LeVous, quite frankly. Lattimore's not 100%. That helps. I don't see where they have a lot of playmakers on that side of the ball. Their defensive tackles are good. So what? The Bucs ran on them anyway in week one. Who's stopping the Buck running game right now, Lee? Who's stopping it?
Nobody.
Who's stopping it?
They are stopping themselves.
Irving's going to get his carries, Steve. This ain't going to be the Rashad White show. I don't care what Bowles says, that White needs more carries. He might get 3, but Bucky's going to get 20. And
whoa, really?
I'm expecting 100 yards from Irving, including a 33-yarder along the way. I'm going with the Bucs 30-24, Lee. 30-24 and probably going to Philly. So, Lee, get your tickets for Lincoln Financial.
Okay. I'm sick of hearing this over and over and over and over and over again. Jaden Daniels ain't the same quarterback the Bucs faced in week one. He's so much better. That's not wrong, but I'm tired of hearing that, and here's why. The Bucs are not the same team in week one. How many times did I say early in the year and this summer the Bucs offensive line would be different by the time Thanksgiving came around?
Hey, another one for the I Told You So edition.
I said that, and I mean it then. This is a different offense line. It's better. Bucky Irving was basically a non-factor in week one. He's a major factor now. It isn't just Jaden Daniels that's a changed and better player. So is the Bucs offense.
And
is Mayfield.
McMillan's come on.
McMillan's hotter than hell. I agree with Ira. I think the Bucs are going to have a good offensive night. I hope that, and I hate the word hope, that this 12-year streak of rookie quarterbacks puking on themselves on the road continues. Bucks 31, Washington, should be Redskins, Washington 17.
Nice. Steve, you want to be the outlier here, Stevie?
Oof. Well, I'll tell you, I'm almost tempted to not make a pick because I think the game is that close and there's just so much craziness here, but I'll keep it simple. I do think the Bucks for this one game have the better quarterback, and Washington has a kicker situation. I think they're on their 4th kicker. They don't have a good kicker.
And the Bucs have a really good
They
one.
Don't have a long-range kicker, and the Bucs have a great kicker. So, you
think the Buck offensive line can manhandle Washington? In this
manhandle? Game? I think they're going to score 30 points because that's what they do. I think they'll have some troubles and situations. But, I mean, this is not a great defense, but they got playmakers. I think they'll be okay. I really do. And Bucky Irving wasn't there week one, like Lee said. I haven't seen a lot of teams or any team shut down Bucky Irving. Saints did it a little bit in the first half, but
McMillan was an anonymous rookie at that point. Nobody knew anything about McMillan.
Well, he did have a touchdown against the Redskins.
I understand. The Lattimore thing is a real X factor because you really don't know how healthy he is.
Can I add something real quick about Lattimore, the Lattimore issue? Everybody and their brother knows he gets in Evan's head. Maybe I'm a doofus for saying this. But I just think Liam Combs smart enough to scheme up plays for Evans away from Lattimore. Am I crazy in saying that?
You know what? I'm going to give a wise-ass answer to that. I'm going to say he wasn't smart enough to scheme up Evans for 1,000 yards before a miracle play at the end.
Yeah.
And that was allegedly the whole goal of the team. So I can't go there. That's a wise-ass answer.
By the way,
answer.
Speaking of Evans, Steve, and I've been thinking about this. Some people think maybe he was a little bit of a distraction going into this game. I think there's a little truth to that.
Yeah,
I think so.
Yeah, we talked about it.
And now that's gone. If he gets 50 yards and the Bucs win, fine. If he gets 120 and they win, fine.
That's why I don't like the Lattimore end of it. I was so hoping that Evans might get in the field with no distractions at all. But we'll see if Lattimore actually plays or if his hamstring's up to it.
I think Evans is going to run free on Sunday night. I think he's going to have a good game.
Real quick, I wrote this, I think it was this morning. If you had to pick Mike Evans or Ja'Marr Chase, who would you pick now?
You mean, who would I rather have?
Yeah.
Ja'Marr Chase.
That's what I'm thinking. No knock on
That's
Evans,
no
by
knock
the way.
On Evans. Yeah.
So anyway, I do think this is the week that Liam Cohen finally does an old school drop back bomb to Mike Evans. I think it's coming.
Wasn't he saying the other day, we don't have to throw long?
He's been saying it all year, but you know what? If Washington, which likes to blitz a lot, I think they're the 4th most blitzing team in the league, if they think, you know, Lattimore can handle Evans on an island, I think they'll test that just for the injury alone, and this is the time to do it. All right, I'm going 36-33 Bucks. I think the Bucks defense, I'm going to be afraid to watch, but I'll watch it anyway.
I'm also going to make a mini prediction. Mayfield runs for 3 first downs. for three.
Can you bet on that at Hard Rock?
I hope I. By the way, mini. By the way, may I interject, Lee? I was doing some bills this week. You know, electric bill and the garbage bill and this and that.
You still write out checks?
I still write out checks. I still write out checks. You know, the cable company and this and that. And I sent off to MGM Resorts my ticket. On the Chiefs thing, I read the address on the back, and I got $91 coming, thanks to Mr. DeKemper.
All right, Lee, Ira, we're out of here, and we thank Florida's Elite Restoration, floridaselite.com, like we heard, and, of course, Bill Curry Ford is your place to shop Saturday and Sunday. Buy a new vehicle before the game. What better celebration could there be? Ira, you have a closing message for Bucks fans who are very stressed. It's a big deal right now, this game. What do you have to say to
me? I got two things. One, Buck-related, one not Buck-related. Speaking of that ticket, do I owe you $50 for putting up $50?
No, that was a gift. I always do that for you when I go to Vegas.
That's a beautiful thing, Steve. It's a beautiful. And I'm still using your Dunkin' Donuts card. Outstanding.
Did you buy any donuts? Yeah. Just coffee?
Well, my wife's looking for a coconut donut. I've been to 22 different Dunkin' Donuts. They don't make coconut donuts.
We'll go to Publix and get some coconut and throw some coconut.
They used to make them. It's not like she's crazy. Yeah. They used to make
them. She's not crazy. Number two, Buck fans, you have the better team Sunday night, even though Washington won more games. I think the Bucks are a better team. They're getting healthy. And you know what? I'm calling on you, number 31. Make a couple of plays out there, Winfield.
Be a Pro Bowler.
And show us the same form that you exhibited in 2023, because we ain't seen much of that this year.